Hello, prayerful yearning, as your heart into heaven is turning, you find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And all of God's people are able to say amen.
Amen.
We are thankful to the great God of heaven for yet another opportunity to enter into his presence with rejoicing and thanksgiving, to blow a kiss to the great God of heaven, because God, in spite of ourselves, despite our lives, God has been so good to us. So we just want to thank you, God, even in the midst of what we call turmoil and adversity, all of these things that are going on about us, and people are asking all kinds of questions. We just want to take time out to remember, thank you, God. And we're thankful to those who are able to come to us by way of live stream. We're thankful to those who are able to come to us through Facebook Live, those who are listening in on the conference call. We are thankful for God blessing us as we have this opportunity on the first day of the week to give praise to his holy name. We're going to invite you to meet with us in the Gospel of Matthew. The verse of scripture that was read came from chapter 24 and verse number 35. I certainly want to be appreciative to all of the brothers who have come before me as we enter into this portion of the worship to hear a word from God. I want to be appreciative to Brother Dondi in particular at this point. That last song that he sang, I couldn't help but smile when I hear him sing that song, and I'm coming up after that. I can remember Brother Jack Evans Sr. standing right here in this auditorium on one occasion, and he said that he just has a couple of requests when he gets ready to preach, and one of them was is that he told people that are leading the song service, don't sing Just a Little Talk with Jesus, because that gives people the impression that he's going to preach a sermonette. And he says he doesn't preach sermonettes, because sermonettes for Christianettes that smoke cigarettes. So, of course, that's a loop playing in my mind here. But we will have a little talk with Jesus. We're going to look in the Word of God. If you meet with me in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse number 35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When you get to Matthew's gospel, the 24th chapter, it gets to a point of discussion and for some controversy in the gospel of Matthew, because it's dealing with some things that were going to take place shortly. It deals with some things that were going to take place somewhere along the way, and sometime even to the end of the ages. So we have a number of these things that are taking place, and this gets confusing for some. But I think that when we finish with it, that we'll have a better understanding of what we as members of the family of God need to be about. So if you will allow me, then I'm going to go through a few of these verses of scripture. You see, I want to talk this morning of how Jesus was preparing his disciples for days such as these. And we're going to find out that we have an invitation to hold on to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And we're going to conclude by finding out that we're going to hold on to the Word of God. I must say that we are involved in a 365-day journey through the Bible, and we are reading and even turning into a study as we're reading and studying through the Word of God 365 days of the year. There's an opportunity to pick up God's Word. If you have not joined in reading through the Bible, I would encourage you to do so, because it's important for us to have a Word from God, I believe, on a daily basis. I mean, just to give you an illustration before I get into the lesson. How many of you ate yesterday? I think that by a show of hands, even those out there in cyber world, I think that you probably ate yesterday. How many of y'all are going to eat today? By a show of hands, I would think that there would be almost every one of us is expecting to eat today. How many of you are going to eat more than one time today? Well, some people tell me I only eat one meal. I eat one meal. It's all day long. By contrast, how many days are we able to go without the Word of God? Jesus says, my word shall not pass. And that is what I've entitled the lesson for this morning. My word shall not pass. That's going to be important to us again, because Jesus is teaching the members of the family of God that we are not to be careful, that is, not to be worried about anything. And he does tell us one thing that we are to be careful about, and that's to make sure that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl deceives us. He's preparing us for the unexpected. We had meetings when I used to work, and they were trying to prepare us for the unexpected. And, you know, I am one of those people that ask questions. Well, so what if it's unexpected and we prepare for the unexpected? When the unexpected comes, is it still unexpected because we prepared for it? Well, Jesus does, in fact, prepare us for the expected, even when we don't expect it. He tells us what we are to be about as members of the family of God. Remember in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 12, when we looked at that on last Lord's Day, we touched upon that. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. When we're going through these turbulent times, when we're going through the age of COVID-19 or whatever the distress or disease or sickness or the happenstance in the political environment, in the cultural environment, in the social environment, James tells us and Peter tells us and Paul tells us and Jesus tells us, be ready. Be ready. That's the important thing for us as members of the family of God. We are to be ready for whatever comes. In Matthew the 23rd chapter in verse number 23, Jesus pronounces a woe upon the leadership of the people of God under the Old Testament convention. Leadership has responsibilities. It's not easy to be a leader, and we dare not turn aside in our own hearts and minds to our personal agendas. God's agenda must always be first. The Bible says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint of anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. There are some things in life that are more important than others. The more weighty matters, those things that are heavy in the word of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 23rd chapter and verse number 24, it says, ye strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The weightier matters of the law, the things that were more important, were to make sure that as members of the family of God, that they were following after love and that they were following after righteousness. And they were following after the things that God commands his people to be about. But they got turned aside in their own mind to their own self-serving agenda. I pray and I keep asking every time I have a chance to speak to ask you to continue to pray for our leadership, pray for our elders, pray for Brother Gary, pray for all those brothers, those ministers, pray for those who are deacons that are doing the work that God has called for all of us as whatever our station is. Do your job. Amen. And do your job to the betterment of the people of God and not serve self, but that we serve God. Jesus was preparing us for troublesome times. There's a song, Brother Dundee, that we used to sing from time to time. It says, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Man, there are troublesome times, and there are people whose hearts are being filled with fear, but not the people of God. Because he has prepared us for such eventualities. He has told us ahead of time the things that as members of the family of God we are to be mindful of, and we are being mindful of those things that God has told us to be mindful about. And if not, brother, if not, sister, it's time for us to turn the page and get on the same sheet of music, if you will, with the great God of heaven. Ooh, man, I think I must be getting excited. I took my glasses off. But look at this. Look at this. The Bible tells us in Matthew the 24th chapter and verse number 3 that they started asking questions of Jesus. Is it okay to ask questions of Jesus? Yeah, it's all right to ask. Notice, the Bible says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? when Jesus was telling them all these things that were going to happen, that there were going to be stones that are sitting on top of each other now, the whole building was going to be thrown down and there wouldn't be a stone that's sitting up on top of another stone. When Jesus told them that there is going to be a sign of his coming in the heavens. And when Jesus was talking about the end of the world, these are at least the three questions that we find being addressed in Matthew chapter 24. And people are having a hard time in some cases trying to rationalize and recognize in their own hearts and mind where one thought ends and the other begins. What is it that God is telling us? What is Jesus telling his disciples? Number one, he's telling us we need to find something to hold on to. Have you ever understood in life that there are times when you need to find some security in your life, something to hold on to, and God has already given it to the people of God? We just have to remember that we have it. You remember that there have been tornadoes that have been sweeping across the land. There has, by the grace of God, not been a hurricane out in the Gulf this season. But it spins off a bunch of tornadoes in the process as well. What do they tell you to do, though, when there is a tornado? There have been some that have come through, and there have been some that have touched down near Houston. What do they tell you to do? They tell you to go into an inner room. They tell you to go into a secure room. They recommend that you go into your bathroom. If you've got a bathtub, get in the bathtub and put a mattress over you in the bathtub when you get in there, because they say that that thing is not going to move. That bathtub that is in there, the way that it's fixing, it's not going to move. When things are blowing around, when there's distress in the land, when there's trouble, the thing that I want to make sure is find what I need to hold on to. And I believe that we're going to have to learn to hold on to the word of God. Because, as Jesus said, my word will not pass. My word will not change. God's word is what we need to hold us down as these storms of life are passing by. There's another song, Brother Dondi, that we sing from time to time. I've heard it. You may not have heard this one. This is an old school song. It says, the storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. Thank God when the storm is passing over. But whether the storm is passing over or not, or the wind is blowing and the sea is raging, hold on to the word of God. Because Jesus said, my word shall never pass away. Jesus' word shall not pass. Jesus' word is going to stand the test of time. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in verse number 34, the Bible says, Jesus teaching among those leaders, those people who had fallen away, he says, behold. Whenever you see the word behold in the word of God, in the word of God, it says, pay attention, wake up. Look, something is something here you really need to pay attention to. He says, behold, listen, show me, I'm going to show you. I'll send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And notice what you're going to do. Some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city. Jesus said, I'm going to send messengers with my word. And what were people going to do when Jesus was sending his word among those in the first century? He says, what you're going to do, you're going to kill some of those folk that bring the word of God. Just because you preach and teach the word of God does not mean that people like you. There are some people, if they had the opportunity, they would kill you. And they certainly crucified some of those preachers that were preaching the word of God. Some of them were beaten in the synagogues because they held on to the word of God. But whatever people may do, let's make sure that all of us are of the same mind, that we're going to hold on to the word of God, because Jesus said, my word shall not pass. If the storm is raging, if the sea is raging, if the virus is raging, whatever is raging into the land, we need to make sure that we hold on to the word of God, because as Jesus has said, my word shall not pass. Jesus's word is not going to go away. Jesus' word is stronger than the bathtub that is cemented in the house in the inside of the securest portion of your house. Jesus' word is something that we can hold on to. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse number 6, the Bible say, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See not that ye be troubled. See that ye be not troubled." Listen. There are wars and rumors of war. Folks are worrying about what President Trump is going to do with regard to China, blaming China for the COVID virus, saying they developed it in a lab, and all of the Secret Service and investigative authorities said no, that it didn't come from that way. But he says stuff and people believe stuff that he says. Listen, people say silly stuff like he said to take bleach internally, and there were silly people out there that were foolish enough to even try to cure themselves of the virus by taking bleach. There are stupid and silly things that are being said in the land. Don't grab onto that stuff. Hold on to the word of God. God is the one that we want to hold on to. People are debating, open the city, close the city, whether or not we should go get our hair cut, whether or not we should get our nails done, whether we should go and get our tattoos, or whether we should go to the mall and buy stuff that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, in these cases, when you hear all of this stuff, we're in an economic war with China, and now they're waiting. We need to be nice to China because they might be having the stuff that's developing that we need, the supplies that we need for us, and are to get all our masks and stuff like that. All of that stuff is being made in China. We need to make sure that we're being nice. Some people are just so silly in this life. Some people are so silly in this life. Now, I have been out from time to time to go and drive through one of the drive-thrus to go out and get masks. And you know, I've been getting masks. I drove out to get some food. Now, I find it fascinating. Don't worry, I'm going to take it off in a minute. But I find it fascinating that as a black man in the United States of America, right now I can put on my mask, and when the bank is open, I can walk into the bank with my mask on and nobody get upset. I'm having a great time. I was like, man, it's not just the Lone Ranger that can wear the mask. It's amazing to me. Listen, I understand this. I know there are terrible things that are happening and people are dying, but our important point in this life is to be ready. Jesus was getting his disciples to be ready to go at any moment. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour when the Lord shall come. So we want to be ready at all times. When I was driving through the drive-thru to get some food, one of the men that was in his vehicle got out of his vehicle. And Joshua, he came up and he had this beautiful mask on his face. He had a wonderful mask on his face. He had one that was for his favorite NFL team in the United States of America. Wow, I looked at his mask and I was like, man, hey, I rolled down the window. Where'd you get that mask from? Can I get one of those masks? He said, well, you know, my wife ordered it for me and all of that and everything. I say, brother, your wife, that's a good woman. She got you a good mask. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you which team it was for, but you know, you have an idea for me which team it was for. I'm not trying to start any strife among these brethren that don't support my team. It's not about that. No, that wasn't them. That was not the team. But, listen. You know that people now are starting to worry about whether or not their masks are fashionable. Does it match my attire? You know, does it have my design on it? Is it that kind of thing that when people see me, they go like, ooh, man, that's a nice mask. It's amazing how things change in this life. But I'm going to tell you that trends come. Trends go. Yes, sir. But the thing that's going to last, according to the word of God, Jesus says, my word shall not pass. So if you want to find something to hold on to, you want to find something that's an anchor for your soul, Jesus says, I want you to hold on to my word. because my word shall not pass. So let's look again at Matthew 24 and 35. And now we're going to break this down a little bit. And we'll go to a few more scriptures here. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Did you get that? The place that we're living right now, heaven, the skies above, and earth shall pass away. This whole world is in a state of transition. All of these things around us are moving, even though we feel like we're standing still. And Jesus is telling us that the heavens that we see, they're going to burn away. They're going to melt away. He's telling us that the earth that we're standing on is going to pass away. But when the stars and the moon and the sun and all of those things are gone, and when the earth is burnt up with melted with fervent heat, you know what's going to be standing? The Word of God will still be standing. The Word of God will not pass away. So since the Word of God will not pass away, what ought we to hold on to? Hold on to the Word of God. Well, I tell you, if you haven't been reading through the Bible in our 365-day journey through the Bible, you don't have to. But you ought not go a week without picking up the Word of God. See, I use the illustration of eating because sometimes we think we don't have time to do stuff that we have time to do if we want to do it. So when we find out our body starts hungering and we get thirsty, we take time out of our busy day to find something to eat and we find something to drink. Lord have mercy. I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to start any strife or anything. But up in the northwest side of town, over where I live, on Fridays, there's this place that comes up, a mobile unit. It's called the Turkey Leg Hut. I think I got that right. Have you heard of this? The Turkey Leg Hut. They've got a mobile unit that goes out and they sit up on the parking lot and they're selling turkey legs. And they have got all these different iterations, turkey leg with this, that, or the other and everything. People come out and they got their mask on and they've got it marked out where you're supposed to stand so you can wait in line for however long are you willing to wait in line to get a turkey leg. And I got into a discussion with a couple of the people that were in the line for the turkey leg, and I gave a few invitations. I gave them cards for the church. Y'all call in and check in and get on our website, this, that, and the other. And I invited them, and I told them something. I said, you know what, for me, it doesn't make sense. You know, to come out here to get a turkey leg and stand in line to get a turkey leg. I told them, you know why? Because I don't care how good it is. After you eat it, you're going to get hungry again. And one of the ladies looked at me. She said, well, you know, you got a point. Yeah, you will get hungry again. I said, you know, so if we get hungry and we got to eat again, even no matter how good it is, you know, don't we just need to eat for nourishment rather than for satisfying any particular trend or hunger? What if we were hungry and thirsty like that for the Word of God? Would anybody get out and get lined up, stand up, and have your social distances and wait in line an hour to hear the Word of God? God's word shall not pass. But do we take the same time to pick up the Word of God? How long can we go without the Word of God? Oh, yeah, we're going to eat. We're going to eat today. And some of y'all want to make sure Brother Wilkerson, remember, don't preach too long so we can get some. Okay, all right. Listen, heavens and the earth will pass away. You know what that means? That means not only will the earth, the skies, and the seas, and the elements melt with fervent heat, it's not going to be any turkey legs. It's not going to be any meat. It's not going to be any food at point when all of that comes to pass, and people are not going to even be worrying about it. You know why? Because the only thing that's going to stand is the Word of God. And we need to learn along the way to hold on to the Word of God. Now we need to go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning for a little bit. In John chapter 1 and verse number 1. How do we hold on to the Word of God? Take a look at this. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Did you get that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And get this. And the Word was God. This is an amazing thing. The Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. Do you believe that the Word was with God? Do you believe that the Word was God? The Bible says in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse number 12, when it's dealing with the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And get this, and the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Did you get that? The Word is. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word is a discerner. That is, it understands what's in my heart. It understands what is in my mind. The Word of God and the Word that God has given us has become flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you get that? That the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among mankind, and we have seen His glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when I suggest to you that we hold on to the Word of God, and I'm talking now about the revealed mind of God that we have been given to man. In Matthew's gospel, or John's gospel, the Bible tells us again that these are written that you might believe. Do you understand that there's more that could be said about God than is written in the Word of God? But the revealed mind of God that we have to us is in the book. So how long can we go without God? How long can we go without the Word of God? How long can we go before we pick up our copy of the Word of God? The Bible reminds us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God can separate us from our sin. The Word of God prepares us so that we can be ready to meet God. In John 6, in verse number 63, the Bible says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Get this. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. Did you get this? Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. How long can we go without the Word of God? Because the Word of God, Jesus says, my word shall not pass. The Word of Jesus shall never pass away. The Word of Jesus, the Word of God, is eternal. And Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Did you get that part of the first part of John 6:63? He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, you might find this hard to believe, but at one time, I was in even better shape than I am now. I was robust and strong and healthy, could run, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how many times you go to the gym and work out. You know, they're talking about opening the gym back up. Okay, how are we going to go in? Who's going to clean the equipment? And how far? And then we're going to have to wear a mask and all that. We can go to the track and we can do all of those kinds of things. We can eat right. And yes, I think we should do all of those things. But guess what? The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what the book says. It says the Word of God is spirit and it is life. But we spend more time trying to take care of our physical sometimes, if we're not careful, than the attention that we give to the spiritual. Some folk can't wait until a barbershop open up again. Yeah, I cut my hair again yesterday. I did it myself. Some of the folks are asking, "How you? Who cut you?" No. I didn't go back because they weren't open. So you cut your own hair. Folks got to get their due did. They got to get their nails done, and they got to get all of these things done. And we've got all these people to work. But the Bible says, "The flesh profiteth nothing." I'm just using this as an analysis, a comparison, but we will sometimes spend more time getting ready to go to worship than we spend actually worshiping God. Where are our priorities? You know what? I think we ought to hold on to the word of God, because Jesus said, "My word shall not pass." And that means that we shouldn't be changing the word of God either. Proverbs, the 30th chapter and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." Don't add to the word of God. Now, what's the point here? Because I have people sending me messages and contacting me and talking about people having talked with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said this, that, and the other. And it's like, look, wait. I don't argue with people about whether or not the Holy Ghost has been talking to them. Number one, if they think somebody's talking to them, you're not going to win that argument. But I do suggest, if you're hearing voices, that you call somebody and get checked out. I'm just saying. My question is what you're being told consistent with what is in the Word of God? And since the Word of God has been revealed to us in written form, if we haven't even spent all of the time that we need to in the book itself, then why are we listening to some other voice? Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, if he preaches any other gospel than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Stay with the book. Hold on to the word of God. Jesus says, "My word shall not pass away." We need to make sure that we're holding on to the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth, sell it not." Hold on to the truth. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, see, it's make sure that we buy the truth. And the word of God is truth. And that's something that we can hold on to. Now, notice what the Bible says in John 18 and 38. You remember when Jesus was going and he was going to stand before Pilate, and he's got these accusations that are against him, and Jesus is giving his information that he's sharing with Pilate. And he told them that, look, if you're of the truth, then, you know, you hear my voice. But when we get down to verse number 38 in John 18:38, Pilate saith unto him, "Well, what is truth?" Now, Pilate wondered, well, what is truth? Well, according to the word of God, the Bible tells us some important things that we need to know about truth. Look at John 8 and verse number 32. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth." And what does the truth do? The truth shall make you free. All right, Pilate, what is truth? Jesus, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we understand that this life is temporary and everything in it, and the only thing that is going to stand is the word of God, it makes a big difference of where we put our priorities in life. You shall know the truth. If you're going to know the truth, we've got to spend time with the truth. Get this one now. If you underline things in your Bible, this is one you want to underline. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Did you get that? And notice, it tells us what truth is. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. And the word of God will not pass away. Buy the truth, sell it not. My word shall not pass away. Sanctify them, separate them from all of the things and elements of the world for God's use through the truth. And the word of God is how we are separated to the truth of God. And we need to make sure that we hold on to the word and the will of God. Amen. All right, let me get to the last level. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. Y'all remember Job? Y'all remember Job and all the trials that Job went through? In Job chapter 23 and verse number 12, he said something that really, really resonates. It says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." You know what Job says? Everything that God said, Job said, "I've done it. I did what God said for me to do." Job says, "I have gone beyond in many cases. I tried to make sure that I err on the side of doing everything that..." Wow, wouldn't that be a wonderful statement if all of us can make that? That I have always tried to do everything that I understand that God has told for me to do because I know that the word of God is true. But he says, notice, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Did you get it? Job says, if it comes down to a choice between getting something to eat and the word of God, and I can't have both of them, Job says, "I will let the food go so I can hold on to the word of God. His word is more important than my daily bread." Have we gotten to that point in life? "By the truth sell it not." Jesus says, "My word will not pass away." So we want to hold on to the word of God. It's important for us as members of the family of God to know what we can hold on to when the storms of life are blowing around. Now, if this were regular worship service, it'd be the time I get down on the floor and folk get happy because, oh, he's down on the floor. He's getting ready to wrap up. All right, let me show you one more verse here. I've got a whole list of bonus scriptures. I give to the booth my bonus scriptures in case, you know, I have enough time that we can get some bonus word of God in. But, you know, it's not like when you go to the Rockets game and there's overtime. Everybody don't stand up and cheer when you go overtime in preaching the word of God. Not yet. It's a process. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Notice. But I want you to see this. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48. Jesus is dealing with a very important subject matter here. He says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my," what is it? "My words, hath one that judgeth him." Now, point is, notice this. If we don't receive the words of Jesus, Jesus says, the person that rejects my word, he says, he has one that judges him. He has one that judges him. Did you get this? And notice he says, "The word that I have spoken." Who's going to judge us? Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So when the heavens are torn asunder and that angel comes down and he steps on the water and he puts the other foot on dry land and time is no more, what's still going to be standing is the word of God. It will judge us in the last day. So if you're going to build your hopes on things eternal, if you want to find something to hold on to, we invite all of us, let's journey through the Bible together, read the word of God together, study the word of God together, ask questions, get some understanding, some wisdom with whatever it is that we're learning through the word of God. Learn to be like Job, esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. Don't put it down until we have to come together again on Wednesday, and I'll pick it up because I want to see what that other brother is talking about. Now, this is something you do for yourself. It's something you do for yourself. We have to eat for ourselves. Is that right? All right. I'm going to extend the invitation, but I'm going to use an illustration or two here. When I was a kid growing up in the country, I used to see people do some stuff. And I know for some of y'all it's probably going to gross you out, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But I'd see people when they had little kids and there was food that was prepared, but it was not food for the little kid. And the little kid was, and they wanted some food and everything. And I've seen this with my own eyes, where mothers would take the food and they chew on it, and then they take it out and they give some to the kid that was hollering for the food. Have you seen that? And somebody go, "That's disgusting." Well, yeah, the baby can't chew the food for themselves, but so they're doing it. But now here's the point I'm making. If you are of age and you still got some teeth, do you want anybody chewing your food for you? You want to chew your own food. What I'm saying is, don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on the Bible school teacher. Don't depend on the elders. Don't depend on any of the servants of God to do your food chewing for you. What I'm talking about is not spirit, not earthly food, but spiritual food. You read and study the word of God for yourself, because the word of God shall not pass away, and it's going to judge us in the last day. There are some of you who are religious people, but you have not followed the word of God. You see, Jesus died for the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And you must be baptized to get into the body of Christ. There's no other way into the body of Christ except for being born of the water, being born of the Spirit. That's the only way you can get into the church that Jesus built. And he is the savior of his own body. So I'm saying to you, don't let folk tell you stuff. Read it and study it for yourself. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you decided that you will turn from self and sin and turn to God? Because if you turn from self and sin and turn to God, you be obedient to the gospel of Christ, then you can be added to the church of Christ even today. Even today. Yes, we will baptize you. If we got to put a mask on to baptize you in the baptismal pool, we'll put a mask on and we'll baptize you in the water for the remission of sin. You can even wear your mask when you go down in the water of grave baptism. Call the phone number 713-672-2654. 713-672-2654. That's the office phone number, or you can send an email to our email line, and we will make sure that you have an opportunity to be baptized into the body of Christ. As members of the family of God, that is our role, that is our responsibility. Paul said in the church, to the church in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse number 27, he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," get that? How you get in Christ? "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's the only way you can get into the body of Christ. The Bible goes on to tell us, I don't care, it doesn't matter where you come, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, Greek, bond nor free. Everyone is the same in the body of Christ. You just need to get in the body of Christ. So do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Have you made up your mind that you want to live for Jesus? That's repenting, turning from self and sin and turning to God. Then simply confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And yes, we will baptize. I put my mask in my pocket, but I take it out. I get up here and baptize you myself. Amen. Sometimes as members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If you're subject to the invitation again, let us know how we can serve you, and we will. God bless you and keep you until we have the opportunity to come together again. At this time, we turn the service over into the hands of our brothers. God bless you.